We should do like a podcasting marathon for charity.
Yeah, that's exactly what the people want, right?
24 hours straight of recording.
Live stream.
Yeah.
Us just talking about Atlantic City on Twitch.
On our much used YouTube channel.
Howdy, it's Wednesday, July 10th, 2024, and this is episode 232 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City and Horseshoe Casino podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Not just Horseshoe Casino, but Maryland casinos in general.
That's true, that's true. You went to Hollywood Casino Perryville.
We have to save that, though.
I know, yeah. After the break.
What's good was our very long break from recording.
Yeah, I know. Man, we really have to thank the corporate overlords at Due for a Win Incorporated for giving us such a long break.
So much has happened. Like, we haven't talked about the May data yet, which was released in mid-June. I went on a whole family reunion. I got COVID and recovered. Like, a lot has happened since we last recorded.
Did you end up feeling pretty garbage when you had COVID, or was it pretty much okay? Because it seemed like, just from the one message you sent me, that it was okay, at least the first day.
It mostly felt like allergies, so I didn't think anything of it until my dad messaged me saying that he tested positive, and then I was like, oh, that makes sense.
But so it sounds like it wasn't too dire from your side.
I felt pretty bad for a couple days, but not horrible. I was never like totally out of commission. I didn't take a sick day or anything. One of those days was 4th of July, which is the best way to spend 4th of July is inside.
It's what our founding fathers would have wanted.
That's true. With a communicable disease, I think that's what our founding fathers definitely wanted.
They hated the outdoors.
A known fact. Yeah. They came to America for central AC.
Right. I mean, it's sort of true. I mean, they certainly don't have that technology in Europe in many places.
So. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Could still be in Great Britain, probably without AC in your place, like when you were born. I don't know if you had AC or not, but...
I have no idea. I was a baby. we have an Always Once Never here that we have saved now for a month.
I know. It's been so long. And I even talked it up the last time we recorded a month ago.
It's been so long I had to go back to the menus and make sure that none of this has changed. And none of it has changed, so we can plow ahead with fancy happy hours.
Mm-hmm.
Limited to ones we've been to, so we have not been to the Docs happy hour or the Vic and Anthony happy hour, which people highly recommend.
We did try to go that one time when I was tragically way too drunk for a live-in, but alas, there was no bar seats.
No bar seats.
Yeah.
So we can run down the list of all the happy hours and tell everyone what the options are, or at least some highlights.
Uh-huh.
So Knife and Fork, their happy hour is daily from 4 to 6 p.m. It's half-priced appetizers, which means $13 to $19, or a seafood sampler for two for $52, also on the menu. I don't think there were any cocktail specials, at least there's none listed on the website, and that's how I remember it too.
When we went, I don't think there was any alcohol specials.
Yeah, and it's only at the bar, so this is one that you need to get there early for if you want to be there.
You need to stand in line.
Yeah. The second one that we're using for Always Once Never is Cardinal, which we went to in our last trip. Their happy hour is Wednesday to Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. and 9 to 10 p.m. It's only at the bar. They have a selection of $10 cocktails, $5 beer, $5 well drinks, $6 Proverb wines, which I'm assuming is some brand of wine.
Yeah.
$1 oysters. Appetizers from $6 to $10 and $14 large plates. We'll get into our varying opinions about Cardinal.
Yep.
And then the last one is Doherty's, 4 to 6 p.m. every day, just like Knife and Fork. They also have a late night happy hour Friday and Saturday from 9 to 10 p.m., which I feel like is something that we should do sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I love a late night happy hour. I'm a big fan.
I mean, we did the 10 to 11 late night happy hour at Osu, right?
Yeah, and I thought it was awesome. Just like have an early happy hour, have a late night happy hour. Yeah. Done. Doherty's has $1 clams, $1.50 oysters, $5 to $10 appetizers, $4 domestic drafts, $5 high noons for you seltzer people, $6 new Amsterdam cocktails, $6 selected glasses of wine, $7 bullet cocktails. So of those three, which one are you doing every single trip? Which one are you doing once more and never again? And which one are you throwing into the ocean? I think you're just canceling the happy hour here. You're not shutting down the restaurant.
So the restaurant will stay, yeah. But the happy hour has got to go.
That's my take.
I don't know. Do you have any sense? For me, one of these is like the obvious always, but do you want to make a guess what it is?
I think Doherty's is your very obvious always.
Yes, that's right. It's in a casino, right? So we've been twice and we had a really fantastic experience one time and like a pretty medium experience the other time. Though I think it was mostly that it was like hard for us to get served that second time. But yeah, I think that the deal is very good. I mean, you are literally in a casino, and it's a casino I actually happen to be the minority and enjoy being in. Cheap beer, very cheap oysters and clams. It's everything that I want in a happy hour, personally.
I was on record as saying Cardinal, I thought, was basically the best deal in AC after we went. Mm-hmm. You were less enthused, I think.
Yeah. So between the other two, Cardinal was fine. I don't know how much I would get out of that happy hour versus like just going there normally. Knife and Fork, realistically, like I don't really want to go have dinner there. And like I thought the happy hour was good. I think I thought it was better than you thought it was.
Yeah.
I would like to do the Knife and Fork happy hour again, and Cardinal's happy hour I would throw into the ocean. But that's not to say that I don't want to go back to Cardinal, because I do, but I don't need to do the happy hour again at Cardinal. Like that's my feeling. I'd much rather go to Doherty's or Doc's than go to the Cardinal happy hour for a second time.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because none of these are bad options.
Right. No, none of them are bad. And that Knife and Fork, I would choose Cardinal every time, way above Knife and Fork every time, like way above it. But for one more time, I think Knife and Fork is perfect for that.
Yes, I think I'm entirely on the same page with you. And my initial thought about this was I loved Cardinal. I thought the happy hour deal is amazing. It's not that inconvenient. Like it's in the Orange Loop. It's not very far off the boardwalk. It's easy to walk to.
Yep.
They do have frequent happy hours. It's not like, you know, Knife and Fork where you have to wait in line ahead of time. It's not like Super Frico, the happy hour is only an hour long, right? So very limited. It would be very hard to do always. None of these would be particularly difficult, I don't think, to do always, except for Knife and Fork. You know, it's not right in a casino. It's a little bit more, you got to plan ahead, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we tried almost everything on the menu, I thought, at Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I liked it and as much as I would get that stuff again and maybe try, you know, a couple more things, I don't think I have to do it again out of these three. Like if I have to pick one right. to do always, I'm picking Doherty's because, like you said, convenience factor. I do, as I was looking at the menu for these again, the one that jumped out at me was Doherty's being like, I want to try all this stuff again. I want to go get oysters, go get some beers or some bullet cocktails. Especially if you're staying at resorts, it's super easy. I love the late night happy hour option, like I said, although Cardinal has that too. And then, like you said, like Knife and Fork is just the perfect once more. If I never went to Knife and Fork again, I don't think I would be like crushed about it. But in terms of if I can only do one of these things once more, I think I'm getting more out of doing Knife and Fork once more than I am out of doing Cardinal once more. It does feel like more of a once experience.
Right. So that's it is, like I said, it's by far in last place if I was just choosing the always, but it's in first place among once more, I think. So it's weird because usually it's not like that in Always Once Never. But
yeah, it's a strange one.
It's special. It's kind of a special experience, I think. And once more is probably the right number that like I realistically want to do this experience once more. And that would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you're ignoring sort of the game side of it, I would like to do Doherty's multiple more times.
Right.
I mean, I would probably like to do Cardinal at least once more. But Knife and Fork is something that, like, yeah, I'd absolutely like to do that once more, and probably I would never need to do it again after that. So a couple of notes about other happy hours. Doc's is sort of on the similar, same owner as Doherty's and Knife and Fork.
Super high on my list. Doc's happy hour.
One that we definitely need to do, 4 to 6 p.m. daily. It's at the bar only. I'm guessing similar that you have to
also
get there
like,
ahead of time.
Knife and Fork, I think you have to stand in line. Yeah.
Yeah. $1.50 raw oysters, $4.50 soups and salads, half price appetizers. And then the Vic and Anthony happy hour at Golden Nuggets, another one that you need to get there ahead of time. It's very long, 4 to 7 p.m. You're getting into real dinner hours there. It's closed on Sunday, so it's every day except for Sunday because the restaurant is closed on Sunday, which seems very odd.
That is a weird day for a restaurant to be closed, but
at the bar and lounge only, they have $11 cocktails, $6 domestic beers, $7 specialty beers, $9 glasses of wine, $2 raw oysters, and $10 and $11 appetizers. I know people love this happy hour. Like, it gets highly, highly rated. But just looking at the dollar amounts of all these things, every other happy hour we've listed seems like a better deal.
Well, except for Knife and Fork, maybe.
Oh, yes. Knife and Fork is more expensive.
Right.
So the food at Vic and Anthony really would need to hit to push it above, say, like Doherty's or Cardinal or...
All right.
I mean, Doc's, which we just know the food is good.
Next time on our one-night trip that is surely coming up soon, we go, we stand in line at Doc's at 3:30 or whatever, 3:40, and we go to happy hour, and then we go to the late-night happy hour at Doherty's, right? That's how we're doing our dinner.
The Doc's Doherty's doubleheader?
Yeah. 9 o'clock at Doherty's? Come on, that sounds perfect.
With some full-pay quarter-bonus poker in between?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good. That's why Resorts loves me, just nonstop full-pay bonus poker.
They can't get enough?
At the quarter level.
Sure. So when is our one-night trip going to happen? Soon, right?
Like September?
Sure.
I've been having to lug my laptop on all summer vacations to like get in hours here and there. I think I could actually figure out a way to do an overnight trip without taking any leave. It would just be kind of annoying. Anyways, that's a discussion for another time. Certainly not a discussion for an episode about Atlantic City. We have a correction, which is that we said in episode 230... that we met Tom L. Tom L, who had asked a mailbag question. But we actually met Jim H. So mistakes were made. Both three-letter names that end with M. Both have a single initial as their last name.
Indeed, that's very strange, because that's rare. But yeah.
So apologies to both Tom L and Jim H for the confusion.
Yeah, we're all very disappointed in you, Craig.
Well, maybe I can make it up to you with a trip report.
All right.
An incredible trip report from almost a month ago, June 14th and 15th. We had talked about my summer Friday, my day off, and I had kicked around the idea of going to Atlantic City. We had certainly left it last episode that I was not going to Atlantic City. I was going to Baltimore for an Orioles game. We went to the Orioles game. The Orioles lost in extra innings. There was a rain delay in like the 10th inning. I mean, it was still fun, but it was really delaying my horseshoe time. So I made it to Horseshoe. I did go to Horseshoe after the game. Got there at about 11:30 p.m., which I think is ideal time to get to Horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first Horseshoe experience in a while. So that was something. I have to say, I remember the downstairs being pretty lively, and it is now extremely dead.
Yeah, don't go downstairs. It's just...
it's very sad down there.
There's nothing down there. There's nothing down there.
Here's one thing that's down there. An 8-5 Jack's or Better machine at the quarter level. There is one in the entire place. I don't know how I stumbled upon it. Like, I guess I just checked every single pay table. And it's all janky. Like, the screen flickers. So that was very distracting. I was like, is this going to give me a migraine? But I did get a straight flush on it. So it made me a little bit of money.
Oh, that's good.
I actually thought upstairs was pretty fun. Like, they have a good selection
upstairs
of slots.
Is totally... fine. Yeah, downstairs is like dire. They've closed everything.
Yeah,
just everything, right? Like even the bar in the middle is like not the like actual bar in the center that's multiple stories, but the what used to be the beer bar back in the food court is closed. So
it's so
it's bad.
It's unbelievably bad. There is a little sports bar down there that had a few people at it, but otherwise, yeah, it's just so dead down there. But I did like the selection of slots upstairs. They had, you know, all the stuff you'd expect. They had a new, like, Huff and Even More Puff machines. They had, I mean, obviously, Buffalo. Buffalo, I had a nice little Buffalo session, made $120 on that. They have lots of Dragon Link and all that kind of stuff. Like, the slot selection is very good. It was a good time. I liked the soda machine, self-serve soda machine.
Yeah.
One thing that I was very happy about with the self-serve soda machine is that they had caffeine-free Diet Pepsi, which was an excellent choice for 11:45 p.m. rather than, you know, just drinking regular caffeinated Diet Pepsi, which I would have done if that wasn't an option. I was there with our friend Dave. He ended up playing Stadium Craps. I sat down at the Stadium gaming machine and saw the limits were like $10. And I was like, this seems – or maybe it was even 15. It was high.
I think it's 10 usually.
And also while earning no tier credits. And so
That's
I was
right.
like, I'm going to go play some slots instead.
Earning no tier credits while it says you're getting tier credits.
Yes.
Like. I think it's amazing.
Dave did very well at the Stadium Craps, he said. So that's
good
for him. One thing they had, I know there's no drink service in the Maryland casinos. No,
well, there's
pay
drink
for
service. You just got to pay.
You got to pay for alcohol.
Yep.
But they had a special. I think it was Bailey's. It might have been knockoff Bailey's. It was some sort of Irish cream. And then $5 Teeling Irish whiskey shots, So what I did was I bought a $5 shot of Teeling Irish Whiskey and got my cup of caffeine-free Diet Pepsi and combined the two and had a delicious little cocktail. So that actually worked out okay. I ended up staying until almost 2 in the morning and then hopped in an Uber and went back to my hotel. I had a pretty good time, I would say. It was not amazing, but it's fine. Like, if you're in Baltimore and it's late at night and you need something to do, it's good.
It's probably fine at 11 p.m., just to follow up on the Horseshoe Trip report. I was at Horseshoe less than a week ago, 5 days ago maybe, last Friday. And it was, of course, at like 8 a.m. And it was, of course, just completely, completely empty. Yeah. So that's not great.
One thing I have to say in favor of Horseshoe Baltimore is there's getting to be more stuff around it. Like, you always go to Topgolf before you go. After. Mm-hmm. There's also now a couple breweries over there. Like, Checker Spot has moved across the highway. But it's walkable. And Checker Spot's a great brewery, a big tasting room. And then there's a few other breweries that are a few blocks away. So if you're just Ubering or cabbing around or it's nice weather and you can walk, you can go to Wyco Street, Pickett, lots of little places to go check out. And I think it's worth doing that if you're in the area. So it was fun. We went to Checker Spot before the Orioles game, then went to the Orioles game, then went to Horseshoe.
A nice little day.
But again, like, I don't feel the need to like go out of my way. Like, if I stayed in Baltimore and I didn't make it to Horseshoe, that would not feel like a bad thing at all. Hollywood Casino, on the other hand.
Ooh, yeah. How was your Hollywood experience?
Yeah. So the next day I woke up, I went and grabbed a coffee, like walked up whatever it was, Charles Street or something, and got a coffee. As I walked into the coffee place, I was like, oh, I dated a girl who lived in this building. All of 20 years ago. Anyways, and then got my coffee, checked out, got in the car, and drove to Hollywood Casino Perryville in Maryland. It was maybe, 45 minutes north of Baltimore. I got there at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 15th. No table games open.
Oh, really? Nothing?
Nothing.
Wow.
The one thing that jumped out at me is, I don't think it shares a parking lot, but it is across a parking lot from the new Great Wolf Lodge in Perryville.
Uh-huh.
So the idea of, you know, taking your kids to the water park, staying at the Great Wolf Lodge, and basically just treating Hollywood Casino as the Great Wolf Lodge's casino sounds decent, except that you're in Perryville, Maryland. There were some poker tables going at the Hollywood Casino. I got a $10 sign-up bonus, so I'm now a Penn Play member.
Ooh.
I've started to get some offers for $10 free play and stuff.
Gotta go back.
Just some initial thoughts about Hollywood Casino Perryville. It's extremely small.
It is very small.
I walked in and I loved it. There's some Art Deco sort of style in there. It's very like old Hollywood themed. Since it's so small and like it's got a tiny bar, it's got one sports bar restaurant thing in it. It almost feels like a movie set of a casino.
Yeah, I can see that.
Some set designer's idea of what a casino looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it as small as possible because they're just shooting a few scenes and then they're leaving.
Yeah.
So that is what it feels like.
You haven't been to the one in West Virginia, right?
No.
It is not like that. But yes, I definitely see what you're saying about the one in Perryville. And it does seem like a set more than an actual casino just because it's so small.
And I was walking around, I was like, this is so cute. But then like I left and I was like, well, why would I ever go back? Other than it's just literally right on the way.
The reason I used to go... When I say used to go, I mean went like two or three times ever. It's just on the way either to or from Atlantic City. It's just, hey, somewhere I can go and play $10 blackjack or craps or whatever.
I ended up getting my $10 sign-up bonus, played Wonder Woman. They have three Wonder Woman machines. It went very bad for me. I did the stupid double top dollar at $3 a spin. I lost my $50 extremely, extremely fast. I got one line hit, I think. So I think I went through $50 in like... 18 spins. It was bad. So I never got to do the offers and stuff, so that sucked.
Very disappointing.
Drank a lot of free soda from the Coke Freestyle machine. So that is one thing.
That's an upgrade from the last time I was there. Didn't have that Freestyle technology.
Yeah, Horseshoe, like, I don't mind Pepsi products, but Horseshoe just has, like, Pepsi regular fountains. But Coke Freestyle machines, like, that's my jam. Like, I would go to the Burger King by me just to get a soda from the Coke Freestyle machine. Like, if you can get peach,
you need, like, peach
flavored Mellow
Coke.
Yellow.
Oh, God. So bad.
He's got to get really the weirdest stuff. I got some sort of, like, Fanta, the syrup sort of like splattered out, and I had like orange spots on my hands that I could not wash off. It was crazy. Anyways, weird story. So I walked around a little bit, played some slots. It did not go well. And then on the way out, I was like, well, let's see what's going on with the tables. Because now then it was like 12:15. Mm-hmm. So the tables all opened at noon.
Yep.
And it was $15 blackjack,
ooh,
$10 roulette, $15 craps, and $25 pie gal poker.
That's harsh, man.
That's, I was surprised at how high it was. I mean, $10 roulette is fine, but...
I would have thought 10 for all those, except for maybe pie gal at 15 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I would have played some pie gal poker if it was open earlier, but 25, surprising.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked it. It was like a nice little stop, but again, like I don't, that's a...
It was Saturday too, right? So
that's true.
Maybe if you went on like a Tuesday, it would have been different.
I really wonder how they're doing business-wise since Great Wolf Lodge opened. Because I really wondered, like I was looking at the people playing craps and I was just like...
That might help.
Are all these people's like kids right now in the water park at Great Wolf Lodge?
It's a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds great. We should do it. That's our next trip. It's like way closer for you guys.
It is very close for me compared to the one at Showboat.
It's probably not significantly further than Atlantic City for me. Yeah, it's probably going to fit another 50%. But
and then I don't need to go to Showboat, which is another upside.
That's true. You should buy the Showboat Water Park.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so that's my Maryland Casinos trip report. I don't think I have anything else to add.
I have a question, obviously, that I came up with, and it just isn't in the script for me. So does this make you rethink, say, never for everywhere else in last week's always once with a W, never, since you basically turned this Baltimore trip into a casino trip?
You don't spell once, W-U-N-C-E.
W-O-U-N-C-E, once.
Yeah, it was interesting how much it felt like a casino trip. I mean, I spent a good amount of time at casinos. It sort of was not the entire focus of the trip, but was a central part of the trip. And it was nice, but I don't think I would need to do it everywhere. I don't think it would have made the trip significantly worse to just not do the casino stuff. You had said during the Always Once Never that if you had gone to some city where there is a casino, like some town, there's a casino and you just can't go, that would be really disappointing for
that'd
you.
Be a bummer.
But like if I was in Baltimore and I just couldn't go to Horseshoe, I mean, maybe that's a bad example because Horseshoe sucks, but...
Yeah, like I had a good time. So what I went, 12 years ago now to New Orleans or whatever, and it was just nice that I could take an afternoon and just go to the casino in town. And
yeah,
it would have been
true.
A bummer if I couldn't do that.
The Harris in New Orleans is nice.
It was totally nice, yeah.
All right, that's the trip report. We have lots of news. So much news, because it's been a month. It's been 4 weeks. The first thing is that the Noodles of the World, also known as the Now, at Borgata, is temporarily moving into the Izakaya space as they renovate its regular space.
The most surprising thing about just Noodles of the World in general is that I've never been. Like, yeah. I've sat at those pie gal tables so often and just looked and been like, yeah, that would be good. And I've never been.
It's probably good, right? I mean, it's at Borgata.
I'm sure it's good. Yeah, I'm just sure it's good.
It's now in a massive restaurant space, moving from its very small space over by the
pie gal tables.
Pie gal tables, yeah. So yeah, from the website, it says, beginning June 19th, visit the NOW temporary dining experience located next to Old Homestead.
And let me tell you, that's a long time in the past, because we haven't done this in a month.
Keep that in mind next time you go to Borgata, if you are someone who frequents the Noodles of the World.
So I guess probably the biggest news of the last month is that the much maligned, maybe by us and also by other people, AC Beer Music Festival that was supposed to be happening at Baderfield was canceled, basically due to poor ticket sales. From the website, the Atlantic City Beer Music Festival summer sessions will unfortunately not be taking place in 2024. If you purchased your tickets online, a refund has been issued and will be processed in 4 to 10 business days. If your tickets were purchased at Vagabond Kitchen and Tap House, you can swing through Vagabond and their team will issue your refund. So they said they are coming back in 2025. They did have their normal AC Beer Music Festival already in April. So we'll see. It seems like from what I was reading about it, people don't love the organizer of this. And he was getting a lot of flack. But I certainly said on the podcast, I don't want to go to Baderfield in July or whatever for a noon session.
Right. It feels to me like the obvious answer here. I mean, for one thing, it's 2 months after the first, I guess 3 months after the April session at the convention center. But this, the really obvious thing to me to do here is to do the convention center one anytime, really, because weather doesn't matter, March, April, and then do the Baderfield one in like September.
Right.
Right. Or like after Labor Day.
Or do the Baderfield one in March or April and then do the convention center whenever you want.
Right.
Do that in July if you want, or September, or...
Especially this summer has been so freaking hot. It's unbelievable how hot this is.
It has been unbelievable. It's been just awful.
I mean, I don't think AC gets as hot as, right. you know, say, DC or...
Yeah, just terrible.
Yeah, it's hot, man. I don't want to be at Baderfield. Yeah.
And we were at the beach the week that it was 100 every day or whatever here, so...
Sounds terrible. All right, so that's that news. That's very big news. All the news is sad, except, I mean, Noodles for the World moving is not that sad.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. So the aquarium reopening has been pushed back to September. It was supposed to be on July 1st, according to a Daily Voice article that will be linked in the show notes. They're going to also do some work on the exterior that wasn't previously planned, including a new mural. So what do you think of that, Craig?
When I first saw the announcement, I was like, oh, everything's taking longer than expected. But it actually just seems like they're adding work that they weren't planning to do.
They're just doing more work, yeah.
So it seems odd, obviously, to open in September instead of July, but I'm guessing the aquarium is something more that locals do than...
I would assume so. I mean, on the margins, it's probably good for it to be open in July and not September, and then just to close in the winter or something and do this, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But is this a private institution, or is this, like, run by the state or city or whatever? I don't know, personally. But they might not really care about whether or not this makes good financial sense, if it's the government.
The article really makes it seem like the decisions are being made by city council, which would indicate public.
Yeah. So.
And the website is
at
acnj.gov, which makes me think very much public.
What do they care?
They're not governed by things like profit.
No. I mean, they're not even governed by things like the people of Atlantic City, so.
That's a good point.
Trenton making all the decisions.
So that's your aquarium update.
Mm-hmm.
There's another strange thing that's happened, which a huge tip of the cap to Lou D for emailing about this, which is that the new Michael Schulson restaurants that were supposed to open in time for the summer at Ocean have not opened. And not only have they not opened, but they're no longer listed on the website as coming soon. Lou D emailed saying that he registered for a recent contest and the prize included a food and beverage credit at Pearl and Mary's. And now the prize is being listed as for Amada. So obviously things have changed. The press release from February announcing these new restaurants is also gone from the Ocean website. So I tried in multiple ways to contact Ocean. I never heard back. I posted in one of the Facebook groups, and the rumor is that someone, one side, either Ocean or whatever Michael Schulson's restaurant group is, backed out of this deal. And so those restaurants are not happening, at least not right now. So that sucks because I was excited about those. I loved Izakaya, so I was hoping for, you know, similar quality there. And it also really makes me wonder, like, what's going on now with that space? Like, there's two good spaces there that were going to be used for that. I mean, one of them was just walled off with fake plants anyway and has been for a long time. But, like, the Harper's space, like, Harper's is now moved, I think, down by, like, the Starbucks, I think. So what's going to go in that space? Like, that's a big restaurant space. So interesting stuff. Obviously, probably not what Ocean was hoping for. Any thoughts on these restaurants?
Nope. I'm totally without thoughts, as usual.
I want more happy hours, and these were going to have more happy hours.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't actually know if these were going to have happy hours. Last bit of news. May data.
Yeah, May data. And I have to say, it seems like it was a pretty decent month. I mean, it was a 5-Friday month. 2023 was only 4-weekend month. But it's up 5.2%.
Seems good.
Borgata, of course, came in first. Hard Rock, of course, came in second. Notion, of course, came in third. All were up. Big shout out to Hard Rock, which was up 29% year over year. So just absolutely on fire still. And then five of the casinos were up, and the four casinos that were down were Bally's and the three Caesars properties, which is kind of more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, Ocean in April was actually down 15%, and we were sort of trying to figure out why that was because they've so consistently been up. Mm-hmm. So they were up 7.5%, a little return to form for them after being down in April. Golden Nugget was up 7%, which seems decent. They're having a decent year, I think, so far.
So Golden Nugget had quite good luck, I think, in May. And Ocean actually had very bad luck, I think, to only be up 7.5%. So
Bally's drops back down to last, which is where they've been every month except for April. They actually jumped up to 7th in April. So not looking as great for Bally's as it is for Golden Nugget, who's truly the hero of the... No, I don't know.
The hero of Atlantic City.
Golden Nugget is having an okay year, which is surprising given where they were at last year.
Yeah. just like other shoutouts for luck, Hard Rock, of course, had a lucky month, being up 29%. And Tropicana actually had an insanely lucky month, but we're still down 7% in last place, so that doesn't seem great.
The Tropicana thing is fascinating because it's so crowded in there.
It is.
To go experience it and be there, you would never, never think that they would be struggling in any way, shape, or form. But maybe they're just making a lot of money on other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, by all accounts, it seems like, to me, who's spent a lot of time in Tropicana, the clubs and everything are doing well, so maybe they're still making enough money and they're happy, even if it's not in the casino.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe they're making a lot of hotel revenue, too. Like, I'm guessing all these club people are paying for rooms. Like, they're probably not getting comped rooms, so that probably makes a huge difference to them versus, say, how many people at Golden Nugget are paying for rooms, right? Because everybody there is gambling. Everybody there is of an age where they're playing slots all day, probably. Those people are not paying for rooms. They're just not. Yeah, that sort of stuff would be interesting to see as we get whatever data that is, you know, all the occupancy and that kind of stuff, average room rate. So we'll be on the lookout for that. So Wayne Perry's article, Associated Press article about this, points out that the May in-person revenue surpassed the pre-pandemic May, so 2019 revenue. That's sort of been his barometer for a long time, is like, okay, can they actually make more than they did before the pandemic?
The highest month since 2013. It looks like 2013 is the last year that beat this year.
In May.
Yep. In May.
Yeah, so that's good. He did point out that only 3 of the 9 casinos won more from in-person gamblers than they did in May of 2019. So, you know, the gap being made up by Hard Rock, Ocean, and Borgata. But do we care about that? I think we've talked about this before. Like,
yeah, we've gone around in circles on that. It is, of course, good if every casino is doing somewhat better. But, you know, we've talked a lot about it. Online is like a bigger part of all this. We're just talking about how Tropicana maybe makes money that we're not seeing on this. So it's hard to say that this is like exactly apples to apples. But also, is it great that Atlantic City is becoming more and more just a 3-casino town with some other small casinos that don't sell nearly as much as the top 3 casinos? Probably not. But it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that the 3 casinos that are doing the best are the 3 newest or at least most recently renovated casinos, right? Like, I think that says a lot.
Right. No, it's 100% like a choice that Caesars specifically, because they were always, well, they haven't always been. They used to be some of the best casinos, best performing and just nicest casinos in Atlantic City. And they made a choice that they didn't want to do that anymore and they didn't put any money into it. And now they're reaping what they've sown.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at this from like a very Vegas perspective, like say your resorts, if somebody came in and just demolished resorts and built a brand new gleaming property there.
This would be the stupidest idea ever, but yes, go ahead.
And named it something other than resorts.
Uh-huh.
I would think that they would be optimistic about their ability to be more in the Borgata Hard Rock level of revenue.
I agree. I mean, Ocean is basically that, right?
Right.
And Hard Rock. Ocean and Hard Rock are both, in some sense, brand new casinos.
So I think if you're looking for like signs of the health of Atlantic City, I think the fact that the 3 nicest and newest casinos are doing well and sort of bringing it to where the revenue of the city as a whole is growing, I don't think that's some bad sign.
Right.
I don't think it's saying like, oh, well, yeah, but they're totally carrying the rest of the people. Are they carrying everyone else, or is it that they're just better? Like, obviously, the better product is doing better, and if there was more better product, that more better product would also do better.
No, I think that's right. I mean, I think it is the 3 newest casinos, like, especially if you consider, like, I think Hard Rock is basically a new casino compared to Taj. And even if it's not, I think it is still the 3 newest casinos in Atlantic City. Because Taj was built after all the other 6, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Golden Nugget got a big renovation, but there's only so much you can do with
that space.
Going from Trump Marina to Golden Nugget. And this is very different than initial era of Ocean, right? Where Ocean just...
Right, it failed.
So it was this sense of like, you can't open something new in Atlantic City and succeed.
Well, I mean, didn't they spend like $5 billion on that property too? Like, it still wasn't a good idea.
But if you're looking at investing in Atlantic City and sort of like, where is Atlantic City? Something new coming in and just totally flopping like that is a really bad sign. Whereas now you've got the new stuff doing well, and I think that's a much better sign. yeah, like, it's not great that six of the nine casinos are still behind where they were in 2019, but, like...
Again, if you want to portion blame somewhere, like, I put it squarely on Caesar's shoulders, because they were 4, 5, and 6 before this trend started and have not done anything to make their casinos nicer. I mean, by all accounts, I think, like, Resorts and Golden Nugget are, like, kind of keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
It's Caesar's that's a disappointment, and it's specifically, like, they just... weren't doing the upkeep that they needed to do to remain competitive.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked before about how this is kind of a Caesars problem, and especially because Harrah's is a huge property, Tropicana is a huge property.
Right. Harrah's specifically, like, there's just no reason it should be in sixth place every month or whatever it is. They did beat Caesars, so they're in fifth place this month. But yeah, that's embarrassing. Like, Harrah's and Caesars should be doing much better than they are.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, Bally's, Resorts, Golden Nugget, like, those all... don't have the sort of big network that Caesars has. Right. Golden Nugget and Resorts are just smaller casinos than the others.
Harrah's and Caesars are, like, in some sense, it would be easy to make them very nice in a way that I think it wouldn't be that easy to make Tropicana, like the casino part specifically, like, very nice. I think that's a bit tough.
Yeah. Tropicana is very compartmentalized in a way that I think would be hard to really renovate.
The Quarter's nice and a bunch of the restaurants are nice, but the casino itself, like, I don't know how you make that area nice, in quotes.
When I started going, they had started doing some work on the casino, and I think that main casino floor actually used to look even crappier. Uh-huh. So I think it is a lot nicer than it was, like, 10 years ago or whatever, 15 years ago. But yeah, there's only so much you can do with the way that casino is set up.
In terms of layout, it and Golden Nugget, like, I think it'd be easy to make Resorts or Bally's nicer, right? Like, they're nice open spaces with, like, good sight lines. It's easier for me to imagine how one could spruce those areas up than, like, Tropicana. Or Golden Nugget is just, like, this small, dark box, so...
Yeah, I don't even know what you do with Golden Nugget. I think they've done what they could. Like, I think that even Golden Nugget's renovation is pretty nice, but you just... there's just only so much you can do.
Right.
Yeah. Probably way more than we needed to talk about 6-week-old data, but...
Yeah, here we are. And when we come back, there will be some June data.
It's true.
Start of the summer season.
Maybe even before this episode is posted, there will be June data. That'd be a problem. I don't think that's true, but...
Well, thank you guys very much for listening, as always. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com, and we may even answer them on air. How's our inbox?
We have an always, once, never suggestion, which is good because we're running out of steam a little bit.
All right.
I mean, you said that you're always, once, never.
Yeah.
This is the always, once, never to end all.
To end always, once, never.
And we're close, I think. We may need to come up with another segment.
Mm-hmm.
We also got an email from Paul B. saying, I accidentally brought home a smallish Caesar's slot ticket, and I would love to donate it to the Save Wonder Woman Do for a Win Fund. So we may have a slot ticket in, ticket out ticket coming.
Frankly, I'd be a bit disappointed if it was like $30 or something, and I'd be like really pleased if it was like 78 cents or something. So yeah.
I said that if he sends it, we will find something very stupid to use it on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's right up our alley.
So we'll have to think of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It'll depend greatly on what the amount is.
It'll depend greatly on when or if we ever actually go back to Atlantic City.
That's true. I don't see that happening.
You're making it sound so enticing for him to send the slot ticket over?
Yeah. Maryland Casinos Podcast. Maybe the slot ticket is just the boost we need to get to Atlantic City. Because both
to
of
be
us,
clear,
I think,
I don't,
really
I don't
have
think
no
it's...
interest.
We need to boost.
Both of us are really struggling.
One of the co-hosts needs a boost a bit more than the other one.
No, the summer's nuts. And I make no apologies for that to you or anyone else, except that it's actively hurting the podcast.
Yeah. And we all know where your priorities in life should be. Podcast number one, family number two, job like number 317.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think this should really start a trend of everybody sending us their 19-cent tickets instead of giving them to charity. As we said, all money should either go to us or the casino.
Right. And we will ensure that that happens.
And so I think if we really just like crowdfund with these tickets.
Mm-hmm. We could just come in with like a burlap sack full of, you know, 6-cent slot vouchers.
It's like having free play, basically.
Right.
I mean, it, of course, is spread over 9 casinos, makes it tough. But I'm liking this idea. I think we should just put in every casino, like put a Dropbox, do for a win ticket fund, and just hope the casinos don't notice, and then come and unlock it every time we go to Atlantic City.
I mean, how long do ticket in, ticket out vouchers last before they expire?
I think a long time.
Hmm. Okay.
Can they expire?
I don't know. I assume so.
We'll find out when we get this ticket.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. Do you have any more last words?
2 weeks. Back on schedule.
2 weeks, yep. Be back the week of the 22nd for an Atlantic City trip and a live podcast.
Certainly no Atlantic City trip, in case there's a question about that.
Oh, no. It's already been agreed to. Our listeners are meeting up with us.